Well, I knew Gary was going to be here today, so I had to talk about money. That he could honestly say, every time I go to that church, is all they're talking about is money. Does anybody remember last week we talked about the key to money is balance? Get ready. Get ready. I got to step back here so I don't step off the stage. And the way, what's the key to balance? Whoa. I need a little help with my financial balance here. There it is. Keeping your eye a reference point. If I keep my eye on that dollar sign, I do pretty good. And as soon as I take my eye off of it, it's gone. So, we're talking about money and we're talking about keeping your money balanced. Cheer up. Rest easy. We're not taking a special offering. This is not a capital funds gain. Capital gains still stings. Anyway, capital improvement. I want to talk to you about how to have balanced money. The reference point is number one. The reference point for our money is knowing where all your money's going. Remember last week we talked about writing it down. If you don't know what you're spending for what, you're going to be in real trouble. Number one, knowing where all your money's going. And then number two is constant corrections. I'm holding that thing. I'm having to make constant corrections. We're going to talk about that in the next several weeks. The corrections that need to be made and spending and all that kind of stuff. But first of all, guys, you got to know where your money's going. If you don't know where your money's going, I've talked to people that I don't even know how much I make. I don't even know where it goes. Don't brag on it. You got to know where your money's going. Somebody says money talks, and I always say, no, it doesn't. It silently slips away. How many know what I'm talking about? Good. And so the number two that we're going to deal with today is the clear objective with your money. Now, when I got that little stick, my objective is to keep the stick balanced in the air. But that's not the objective for money. I mean, you talk to people about objective and what their money's for, is you can say, you hear things like, I want to provide for my family. And that's noble, and that's a good goal. I don't think it's enough. Some says, get all I can all I get, then sit on the can. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Pastor, I wouldn't want to say it right in church, but my goal of money is make as much as I possibly can and keep as much as I can so that Uncle Sam doesn't get any more than he can. And I want to sit on the can and others would say, you know, I just love to save. And if you're a saver by nature, you probably married a spender by nature. It's God's sixth sense of humor. I was counseling a couple of them, doing some premarital counseling. And he was a spender and she was a saver. And they weren't even married yet. And they weren't even living together. And they were already fighting over money. And I said, well, how much do you want to save? And she said, just more. And I said, well, how much is more? And he thought, you know, $57 in the bank, that's plenty. As long as he's not writing hot checks on it. And so we finally came to the conclusion that if they had $5,000 in their checking account, that would be enough. So he agreed to it. She agreed to it. They quickly got $5,000 in their checking account, got married, and then divorced 10 years later because they couldn't ever control their money yet. But some people are just spenders. And if somebody from another country or another planet came and followed you around and looked at your checkbook, they would say the goal that you have with your money is to spend it. Who's ever gone to the mall? Ladies, men are, I'll get the guys in a second. Go to the mall looking for something you need to buy. You didn't even know you needed it till you saw it. Okay, gentlemen, are going to Home Depot. You go in after a 49-cent screw, and you come out $280 later saying, I didn't even know they made these things. But now that I have it, I can save money. And I can do it myself. And so you buy a tool that you're never going to use more than once. Who knows what I'm talking about? I tell you what, it's so much fun to go to the Home Depot and buy stuff, but then you got to put it together. I love to get material, but then you got to. And so the truth of it is, you know, and others say, I just want to be financially free. And you look at people who've been financially free. I mentioned it last week. Old Mike Tyson, $300 million, and went through it and went bankrupt. And you say, if that had been me, I wouldn't have done it. And you never know. You never know unless you've had $300 million and didn't lose it. You know, people that win the lottery, and when millions do win in the lottery, usually lose it within 5 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? So the deal about, you know, I want to provide for my family, that's good. But I've seen people wreck their family with their money. I'm not talking about what you ought to do. And again, we're not taking an offering. It's not about giving. It's about living. So I'm not talking today about giving. I'm talking about living. How to live a financially balanced life. And so what the scripture says is very insightful. The David, King David, great, great guy. He was the king for a long time, and they were at peace with their enemies, and things were going well. Jerusalem was the number one place in the whole known world at the time. And David's sitting in his palace, just looking around and saying, wow. He said, you know, it doesn't seem right that me, I'm living in this beautiful palace, and the people of the Lord are still, I mean, the Ark of the Covenant is still in a tent. You know, the Ark is what they brought through the desert, not the Ark that Noah was on, but the Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments, had some other things there. They would carry that, and that's where God would meet with them. And so he said, it's just not right that we're in this beautiful palace, and God lives in a tent. And so he says, I'm gonna build a temple for my God, because I love God. He's been good to me, and I want to build a temple for him. And so he brings the prophet in, and the prophet says, wow, David, that's really generous. That's a good idea. So the prophet goes home, and God talks to the prophet, and he comes back to David, and he said, David, you're not the one to build it. And David says, how come? He said, bud, you're really a man of war. You're a violent man. You've killed lots of people. And my house is not going to be a violent place. It's going to be a place of peace. It's going to be a place of shalom. So your son, Shalom Man, Solomon, is the one that's going to build my house. Because it's not going to be a violent place. It's not going to be a place filled with anger and strife and debate. It's going to be a place that's filled with love. And I could go off on that, but I won't. And so what Solomon was going to build it. And so David said, well, if I can't build it, what I can do is get things ready for it. What a heart, guys. Think about that. You get this great idea that you want to do for God and says, you can't do it. And sometimes we say, well, I can't do it. I'm going to take my marbles and go home. Well, if I can't play, if I can't this, then forget those guys. And David said, no, Lord, if I can't do it, what I'll do is I'll get the architects together. I'll raise the money for it. And I'll put it all together so somebody else can build it. So David begins to collect gold and silver. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of it. He took it from the Israel's treasury, and he took it from his own bank, or his own treasury, as it were, at the time. And so some say that David gave $14 billion with a B. So he was well invested in this thing. And so they start collecting money, and people are coming, and they're giving hilariously. So I think it's incredible that David, when God says, no, you're not the one, says, then if I can't, I'll get it ready. And so that's what he does. They raise millions and billions of dollars for this thing. So by the time Solomon comes along, it's all set and ready to go. And David said to these guys, he says, you won't be here. Some of you won't be here when this thing started. And most of us won't be here when this thing is over. But I want you to know that we're doing this for our God. And they bring in all kinds of money. And everybody's so excited. And this gives us an insight into David's understanding of wealth and God's understanding of wealth. See, I think if you're going to have a balanced life, it's going to have the right objective. The right, not just a frame of reference to keep your eye on the money. Follow the money, dude. Follow the money. Keep your eye on where it's going. The second thing is, what in the world are you trying to do? Is it just provide for your family? And none of those things that I mentioned are bad. I just don't think it gives enough direction. It's not a moral compass. It doesn't say, and here's what you ought to do. Our motto of our church, or the vision, is seeing unchurched people and the next generation become passionate followers of Christ. That dictates to us what we do and how we're going to do it. We are committed to seeing unchurched people and the next generation become passionate followers of Christ. So the objective is what David said in this scripture that we're going to read. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Are you there with me? 1 Chronicles 29:10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. So they all came together and brought the gold and the silver and all this money and all that kind of stuff, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Look what he says in verse 11. Says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." He's saying basically, God, this is all about you. Your greatness, the power, the glory of your majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. David said, I'm the king. But I understand, Lord, that you are the God over all the earth. And you are the one with the power, and it all belongs to you. Verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. Here's where David lays some stuff out here. Wealth and honor, verse 12, come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. See, David, some of David's men would have said, hey, Dave, I was there when you weren't the king. And you certainly did some right things. I saw you on the battlefield and you knew what you were doing. And now you're saying that comes from God? And David said, yes. He said, the truth of it is, God gives the power to get wealth. God gives power to be exalted. If you're especially bright, that came from God. If you've got a talent or an ability, that came from God. The tenaciousness in which you achieve success. The resiliency in which you just keep coming back. But that all came from God. And David understood that. Whatever capabilities, whatever abilities, whatever character abilities that make you successful, that keep you moving up the ladder, all that comes from God. And David said, Lord, I recognize that this exaltation, all of this comes from you. Verse 13, he says, now our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give this generously as this? And they're bringing billions of dollars in. And they said, this is so much fun. It's not begrudging, okay, here it is. No, no, no. He says, they're just hyped on it. Everything comes from you, the end of verse 14. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. It all belongs to God. And you manage it. You handle it until you're done. And they'll take it out of your hand and put it into somebody else's hand. And God will see how they manage it. So number two, and in your bulletin there, a balanced life and a biblical objective concerning your money is to honor God. A balanced life, a balanced financial life that can keep your money together. And I'm not talking about just when you're a teenager and you learn to allowance. I'm talking about when the family's young, or when they're grown, or when the grandkids are there. A balanced life and a biblical objective concerning your money is to honor God. Let me get a little of a childhood background. I was raised, my dad was a pastor, I was raised in church, and from the very beginning that I can remember, I was taught to tithe. What a tithe means, 10%. And as a little kid, you know, you'd get a dollar and you were taught to give a dime. And you would get $10 and we gave a dollar. And you would get $100 and you would give 10. And when you got $1,000, you'd give 100. And then when you got 10,000, you said, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, what are you going to do with $100 anyway? I mean, maybe. But Lord, 10 grand. Isn't it funny that when the numbers escalate a little bit, that's when we really start fudging? It's easy to give a dime out of a dollar. Shoot, I'll do that. And back in the day, make a phone call, church, go right ahead. But when those numbers start hitting up there and you're talking 10 grand, and you're talking, how many know $1,000? You could buy something with it. And so we were kind of taught that you give God his 10%, and then the rest is yours. And you spend it however you want to. And the scriptures really don't teach that. You know, it's funny, when Terry and I are coming up on 25 years being married, and when we got married, you do your vows that says, I'll love and cherish her the rest of my life. And so when you get married, you people that are married or have been married, are going to get married, know that you're really making vows to God, your spouse, and her father. How many of you know that when you say, I promise to honor and cherish her the rest of my life, he's not over there saying, I wonder what percentage he's going to do that. You know, Dell, if you just feed her, that's 10%. That ought to be good enough. He's not wondering percentages. He's saying, I want you to honor, cherish, and love her for the rest of your life. He's meaning 100%. How many of you know that? If I have a car that you need to borrow, and you say, Pastor, could I borrow your car? And I said, yes. And so I loaned you my car, and you didn't have a car for the day, so you drive it for a day or two. How many know when you bring it back to me, I expect you to bring it all back to me, not just 10% of it? You know, if all the quarter panels are trashed and the trunk's bashed in and the hood's bashed in. But boy, Pastor, we want you to know we vacuumed out the seat and about 10% of it is in good shape. How many of you know I'm not really thrilled with that? When I loan you something, I want it all back. It's like throwing God a bone, you know? Like a burglar break into a house and throw a piece of hamburger over there and the watchdog goes and gets it. And then you say, the rest is mine, God, keep your hands out of this. And God would say, really? You're going to give me that much? I'm so happy. I'm so thrilled. What a magnanimous person you are that you would actually give me 10%. I know that's a thank you, thank you, thank you. You think God's that way? No. You think God really needs anything we have? No. Always say, well, sometimes the church does, but God doesn't. God doesn't. And that won't get you a balanced financial life. So when I say it all belongs to God, does that scare you? Maybe you've been in those kind of churches where they lock the doors, as it were, and don't let you leave until you give X number of dollars. Or maybe somewhere in the back of your mind, you're scared to death that God's going to ask you for it. If I say yes to Jesus, you know, and go down to that church house down there, and go down there, and if I say yes to Jesus, they're going to wiggle some money out of me. And that kind of makes me nervous, kind of scares me. Let me tell you, I said it last week, let me tell you again. God doesn't need your permission to take your money if he wants it. We got that? When Jeff was about 10 years old, he came and made an announcement to the family that we were not allowed in his bedroom anymore. That was his place and no one else could go there. And I took him aside and said, son, I want you to know something. That bedroom belongs to me. And that bed you sleep in, I bought it. That's my bed. The clothes you wear, I bought them. I let you wear them. The utilities, the roof over your head, want you to know, son, all that belongs to me. So when you say my room, well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I want to teach him a good lesson that it all belongs to God. And just because you bought him off with 10% doesn't mean the rest is yours to whatever. The objective is to honor the Lord. Do you think that God is honored when you can't pay your bills? Do you think that the Lord is honored when you've not saved anything for retirement? I'm not talking about putting it all in the church offerings. No, no, no. Somebody's got to pay your rent. Somebody's got to make your house payment. The truth of it is, we are afraid that the Lord is going to ask us for something. Takes me to number three. God is not wanting something from you, but wanting something for you. Remember, Jesus came to the earth and he died for your sins and mine. He didn't come to invest so I could give something back to him. Okay, Dale, I expect... No. He came and he gave himself. God is not wanting something from you. He's really not. That's what David said, Lord, it's all yours. You own it all. You exalt. And any of us that have anything only have something because you gave it to us. Lord, I well understand that, David said. And God says, thank you. No wonder he was able to trust him with $14 billion. See, I think that real peace comes from surrender. The more you hang on to, the less peace you have. And again, I feel like I need to keep saying that. I'm not taking an offering this morning. I'm not talking to you about giving. I'm talking to you about living. How to live. Because you get this set of bills paid, there's going to be another set come. You get that set paid, and there's another set coming. I understand that. I understand also the incredible peace that comes when you relinquish it all to the Lord. And I really think I'm here today to ask you if you've ever done that. If you've ever said yes to Jesus in salvation, we've got a baptism coming up in a couple weeks. If you've ever said yes, then we want you to get baptized. Because that's the step that Jesus said to do. But before you said yes to that, you came to a place in your life where you said, Lord, I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I need to be forgiven. So, Lord, I receive you into my life, and I want to have a new life with you. So the Scripture says get baptized, and then because we all came to that place. But I would like to, and I don't want to confront and get in your face, but I would like to challenge you, have you ever said yes to God with your stuff? With your wealth? Or your lack of it? Lord, I need balance in my life. See, there are people who have ruined their lives saving money. Cheapskates. Some people can give and give and just generously, but they can't save a nickel. Do you think that's balanced? They'll put money in offerings and anywhere, give anybody anything, but they can't hold on to a dime. They've never learned to invest and make money that way. Do you think that's honoring to the Lord? No, it's not. To be so cheap, and I'm not talking just with the church, your family. Gentlemen, with your wives. Well, honey, now I know you went over 49 cents, so I'm going to give you a dollar, and I want you to be careful with it. Excuse me? No wonder she can't stand you. Your kids, when they need anything, they have to ask it like it's a federal grant or something. 45, and you're just cheap. And when it's time to give, you save well, but you can't give. Enjoy life alone. Enjoy your singleness. Spend too much. Pastor, I can afford it. I'm not even talking consumer debt. I'm not even talking about credit card stuff. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And we have to build garages and more just to store our stuff. Who knows what I'm talking about? Read a book not long ago. I forget what the name of it was, but it was back in the 50s and 40s and 50s, closets were for an extra pair of shoes and an extra pair of two clothes. You know, an extra set of clothes. You had your Sunday go to meeting clothes, then school clothes, and then another set of clothes. And now closets, come on, you've got them like I do. They're walk-in. They're a spare bedroom. My wife and I live in a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house. And it's not quite big enough. No, I understand. I do understand. See, and I say, it paid for it. We don't know anything. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a balanced life. See, just because you can doesn't mean you should. What I'm interested in is not just how much I can take to the grave with me, or how much I can leave my family, except they may be a little more concerned about that than I am. I'm trying to keep balanced. Where when I need to give, I can. And it's not killing me. And when I need to not give and save, I can. It can go into the bank. It can go to an investment. And I don't feel like I got to keep my hands on every dollar. See, I think it's balanced. And there's constant corrections I want to talk to you about in the weeks to come. See, it all belongs to the Lord. So if I'm using God's money to manipulate people, what does that say? If I'm using God's money to keep my employees about half poor, about half broke, to where they look at you and you're a real SOB, and I wouldn't say it because this is church, but they look at you as you're just a mean guy. Or my children or grandchildren or people that I'm responsible for, that I would manipulate them with God's money. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. And the truth of it is, the older you are, the more sense this makes, doesn't it? The older you are, the more sense all of this stuff makes. And the only trouble with being a little older is your time is running out. You don't have 30, 40, 50 years left. It's a matter of time until you have the opportunity to manage God's money no more. And it will be taken from you and given to somebody else. And then we'll see how they manage it. And God will look at them and say, how are you managing what's been given to you through inheritance or wealth or whatever it comes? But what a tragedy would be to die with $1 million. And be so far out of balance that your kids and grandkids can't stand you. That you're so distant from anybody who could have been a blessing to. What a tragedy that would be. So it's not just a matter of having an abundance. I know this is not about me, but truthfully, I've got more than I ever thought I would. See, when I said yes to Jesus to become a pastor, I was really saying yes to a life of poverty. My father never made much money at all. Matter of fact, he worked, we call them side jobs now. It wasn't a side job for him. It was a way to make a living. My whole existence through it, when I went away to college, my dad worked a second job just to bring food into the table. And so when I'm grappling as a young man, what you going to do with your life? And you say yes to the Lord. Kind of in my mind, it was, and there will never be anything left over. I wish somebody could have told me then how well things could actually be. See, God's not cheap. God's not tight. He's a very generous Father. And He delights to give. But heaven's sakes, if you can only receive, if you can't loan yourself, it's mine, 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 mine. If your whole life is this, you're going to be a miserable guy to be around. If you will learn to live your life like this, God can put something there. God can fill it with something. But if your whole life is this, and concerning your money, if it's all this, and anything that goes to the Lord, okay, no, don't touch it. I'll give it. Don't you take it. Goes to anybody, Your spouse, your children, ugh. Your taxes, ugh. Lord, my life is yours. How about you? Have you ever said yes to Jesus with your wealth, with your stuff? Or is everything mine, 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 mine? And maybe you'll dish out a little bit just so people be nice to you. And you call it saving. And you call it being a good steward. And you call it being conservative fiscally. You would never envision yourself as being greedy. Oh, that's just those worldly rich people and those millionaires and those people out there. No, no, no. We're not talking to them out there. If you've never said, Lord, here's my money. And here's all my stuff. And if it scares you too bad to open your hands to Him, then it's not a money issue. It's not a stuff issue. It's a heart issue. See, God doesn't want your stuff. God doesn't want to get your money. He doesn't want your money to get you. He doesn't want you to be controlled by something like that. He wants you to be at peace when things are up and when things are down. And some of us live long enough to see things go way up and come way down. That life stays balanced for you because it all belongs to Him. If you've never done that, I would like to challenge you this morning to have that come to Jesus moment here and now. Where you say, Lord, I've always kind of clenched it. And maybe you would never say from even your family, from even your spouse, but because you think that they're kind of irresponsible or whatever you think they are, and maybe they are, that you dole it out. And maybe you even look at God that way, where you kind of throw Him a bone and He ought to be grateful, because after all, it was almost 10% this time. See, I think you're missing it. See, Jesus was right when He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You think I'm talking about money today? I'm really talking about your heart. I'm talking about that inner part of you that's scared to say yes to God because He might take it. Like He couldn't anyway. So I'm asking you this morning, we're going to sing this song. It's kind of neat how this worked out. This is my desire, Lord, to honor you. To honor you. I think the objective with balanced financial life is, Lord, let me honor you. You can give it all away and it's not honoring to the Lord. There's sometimes you're not supposed to be giving it away. You're supposed to be saving it. Use it for reserve. God's not saying, gimme, 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 gimme. No, 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 no. There's a time to reserve it, to save it. And I really want for you to have money. But not that your money has you. To enjoy the peace that Jesus brings when there's an abundance and when there's not so much, that it does not change you. You are constant, you are solid, you are stable because you're balanced. And I'm just repeating myself now, so I'll stop. That's what I want for you guys. And I know there's lots of talk. Dave Ramsey and all those guys do a wonderful thing, and that's great. But right now, I'm the voice you're listening to. For the money that you have to bring you blessing and not to bring you sorrow and pain. To expand your life. To fill your life. not to drain it. So when we sing this song this morning, I'm going to ask you, and not yet, after we take the offering and all that, but to stand and sing along with them and say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my all. I live for you, Lord. I want to honor you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these good people that have patiently listened to me. Lord, this morning as we surrender, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you, and especially our financial lives to you, Lord, I pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' strong name, amen.